Thank you, Jan, for leading us. Well, Aaron is very shortly going to come up and preach to us, and Hope Ann and Betty So are going to read to us. Before that, let's pray. Let's ask the Lord's help to understand what he has to say to us. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. So please, our Father, would you speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
The first Bible reading comes from Psalm 29, which can be found on the Church Bibles on page 553. So that's Psalms 29, starting from verse 1. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon to skip like a calf, and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare, and in his temple all cry, glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forever. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace.
The second Bible reading today will be from Luke chapter 2, which can be found on page 1033 of the Church Bibles. So from Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 8. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them.
Thanks, guys. Please do turn back in your Bibles to Psalm 29. Well, a happy new year. And I wonder over the last 24 hours how many times you've been wished that Happy New Year. I guess most of the time it doesn't really register, but over time it inevitably gets us thinking, well, yeah, I would quite like a Happy New Year. And we think, well, but what could I do to make that happen? Which is, of course, how New Year's resolutions have come about. So maybe at the party you were at last night, or whenever, and that topic of New Year's resolutions inevitably came up. I wonder, what did you hear about from others? And I can guess, because you probably heard what I did. Things like, well, career progress, health aims, including gym membership, maybe. What else did that determination maybe to see new places this year, to see the world? Hopes for my children, what I want to help them achieve and get on. To get on the property ladder, or even in London, to move up it. And of course, as you listen to all these resolutions, there is a common theme, isn't there, in all of them? Me. It's all about me. It's my career, my finances, my experiences, my life situation, and my close family. What happens when someone expresses a resolution focused on others? So let's say their resolution is to do more charity work. Well, obviously, everyone has to give an approving comment, but no one really believes them, do they, as if that is really top of their list. Or how about then even further, a resolution focused on God? I'd love to know Christ better this year. Or, this year I want to give more of myself to making Christ known than I did last time. I wonder, can you imagine if you'd said that at whatever party you were at last night? Eyes would roll, you'd be laughed at, you're surely not serious. And if you are, well, what a loser. Nobody believes that stuff nowadays. Get with it. Well, Psalm 29 was written by King David about 3,000 years ago. And we quickly assumed that was a very different world to the one we live in today. And in many ways, of course, it was. But back then, God was not being treated as he should have been, as now. And so we'll find this psalm speaks to us today, here in 2017. And there's an outline of where we're heading. You'll see it on the reverse of that notice sheet. And this psalm begins with the call to give glory to God. The call to give glory to God. Verse 1. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. This psalm opens by giving us a glimpse into the throne room of heaven. The council of heaven is being addressed, and there is a response called for from the heavenly beings. What must they do? Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Why does he deserve it? Well, verse 2, ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Now, in David's day, the Canaanites in the land where they were served other gods, in particular Baal. And today, around us here in London, some will likewise openly serve different gods. Others will make up their own spiritual principle of some sort. And others will say, well, I'm not religious, I don't believe in God at all. But we humans just can't stop worshipping. And this time of year, actually, those gods come into the open, ironically, with those resolutions. Those resolutions show where people's allegiance is, where they and we are looking to provide for us, where we think our hopes are set, what will make life happy and good. We all have our gods. But this psalm wants us to be clear that it's speaking of one God in particular. Did you notice in those opening couple of verses, four times he is named, capital letters, the Lord. That is Yahweh, the I Am, the Creator, the Lord who redeemed his people out of Egypt and brought them to this promised land of Israel. And as we are now reading this today, this Lord God is the God whose revealed himself supremely at Christmas in coming into our world in Christ. And so this psalm now is saying, only the Lord God is worthy of glory. A bit more of an edge to it, if you like. The call is, get the attention off yourselves, off the idols you've chosen to serve, and ascribe to Jesus all the glory. To which our world at the start of 2017, our society, those we know would say, no way, if they even bothered to respond. And maybe we're wondering at the start of a new year, maybe discouragements from last year, will those around us ever recognise God's glory? Those who'll be on the desk next to you this year, maybe the family we've just spent time with, our circle of friends, what could ever make them give glory to God as they should? But the psalm continues. We've seen the call to give glory to God, and now we see that the God of glory thunders. The God of glory thunders. Middle of verse 3, that's what it says. The God of glory thunders. But how does he do that? Well, it shows us, first, the God of glory thunders in creation. So look again at verse 3. You'll see repeated is the over the waters. So you can imagine this was written in Israel. You speak of the waters, and immediately that would bring to mind the Mediterranean Sea in the west. And then with talk of thunder, you can see the picture being painted, a storm brewing over the sea. And then as we read on through the psalm, it's as if that storm is coming inland. And when it hits, verse 5, the voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. Do we know the cedar tree? It's huge. It's strong. They last. There's some cedar trees in Kew Gardens. They've been there since the 1770s. The flag of Lebanon today has a cedar right in the middle of it, a symbol of security and strength. Yet here's such a storm that it can shatter the cedar to pieces. Well, I'm old enough to remember the UK storm of 1987. It's famous today because before it hit, Michael Fish, the BBC weatherman, famously reassured a concerned caller on national TV that there was nothing to worry about. Well, how wrong he was. It was the most devastating storm to hit this country in decades. Hurricane force winds, people were killed, there was widespread damage. And again, one of the enduring images of that storm was from the Kent town of Sevenoaks, which should have been renamed One Oak. Six of those seven great oaks were uprooted that night. That's the kind of storm that was hitting Israel, the cedars of Lebanon, in this psalm. And there's more to the psalm, not just the trees, but the mountains. Look down to verse 6. He makes Lebanon to skip like a calf and Syrian like a young wild ox. Now, as well as describing a region, Lebanon is a mountain range and one mountain in particular. And then Syrian there is another name for Great Mount Hermon. Now, we all know mountains are big, established, and to state the obvious, very difficult to shift. But this storm is moving these mountains with such power, you look at them and it's like they are living creatures. So we followed the storm as it comes on shore, ripped through Lebanon and Syrian in the north, and then it circles round to the south. Look down to verse 8. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. Now this is the wilderness that Moses and the people had wandered through on the way to Egypt, from Egypt to Israel. But now again, that storm is causing an earthquake, shaking everything in its path. And there's more. With the thunder, at the heart of the storm comes lightning. That's verse 7. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The average lightning bolt contains 1 billion or so joules of energy, and it can hit at a distance of 6 miles. In all this, it's like Queen in their Bohemian Rhapsody. Thunderbolt and lightning, very, very frightening. and that's Israel. The storm is all around. There's a trail of destruction. It's come from the sea, it's in the north, it's down south. And the point is, there's no escape when a storm like this hits. And I point all through the psalm, it's the escape is not ultimately from the storm, but from the Lord God himself. The terrifying might of a storm is yet merely a glimpse of the awesome power of the Lord God at work. I went along to the Natural History Museum this week, full of the wonders of creation. It's a wonderful place. And we were in the display about storms and tsunamis. And I, with others, stood transfixed in one of the big screens on the wall, where they showed the video of the tsunami coming and literally just lifting a house as if it was nothing and carrying it along the land. We could sense, here is something greater than us, here is something beyond us, and there's a whole group of us just staring at that. But then, of course, you look at all the descriptions at the side. It's all naturalistic. This is merely the effect of the impersonal forces of nature. Not a mention that I discovered in that museum. This is the Lord God at work by his power. But being caught in the thunderstorm wakes you up. Maybe quite literally, children, aren't they, are inconsolable in a storm. They are acutely aware that this is much bigger than them and mummy and daddy can't sort it out. We grown-ups will learn not to worry so much about the average thunderstorm. But how were you last time in severe aircraft turbulence? Were you there in 87 in that storm here in the southeast in this country? Hurricane Katrina, New Orleans, or that 2004 Indian Ocean tsunami? When people realise there is no escape, no one is out of reach, the storm, if you like, shakes humanity awake from our God-rejecting stupor. I think only once have I been caught up in a truly terrifying storm, although I will explain, I didn't even realise at the time. I was a teenager, I was holidaying in Australia with my brother, and a friend of my father, who had his own plane, offered to fly us over to a nearby island. So we took off in a good weather, but then, yes, a storm closed in rapidly. And on this little plane, we got buffeted about from side to side. My brother and I in the back weren't particularly concerned. We naively thought this is just what it's like in a small plane. But then we got to the island, we landed on this remote airstrip, and then we saw the face of our experienced pilot friend. It was white as a sheet. He thought that was going to be it. It was all going to be over, and he would take down two of his friend's sons with him. Now, that was a highly successful man in business, self-made. But that day, he had quite clearly been shown the limits of his control. The God of glory thunders. And so today, 2017 starts. Those around us are making plans, aren't they? If you like, to build their barns, how they're going to eat and drink and be merry. They'll be safe, they'll be secure right up to the long retirement. Well, a storm tears through that in an instant. And that's not a mere freak force of nature event. The God of glory thunders in creation. But the psalm is using that storm to show us more, that the God of glory thunders by his voice. As we start 2017, how powerful do we think the word of the Lord is? Now, I know we know what the right answer is to that question. We could easily all say it. But what difference do you really think the word of the Lord will make this year? And not just in this building, but out there with those you spend your days with. How loudly will God speak to them? Or is it all down to whether people will kindly give God the time of day? This psalm shows us that The storm is the demonstration of God's power, but a particular focus. So God's glory, give it to him, verses 1 and 2 told us. But the first thing we read in verse 3 is the voice of the Lord. That's what the psalmist wants us to think about and to focus on. Seven times then in verses 3 to 9, the voice of the Lord. That's what's making the difference. Well, how is that? Look how verse 3 begins. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. Now, does that ring any bells? Because as well as the Mediterranean, for those who know their scriptures, well, that's going to take you to the beginning of Genesis. The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And that immediately reminds us from creation what the voice of God can do. Look around. God said, and it was. The whole creation, earth, sky, universe, came into being when God spoke. And so verse 4. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The creation is proof enough of that. But familiarity breeds contempt, doesn't it? We're used to that. Our world is so used to suppressing that truth that creation shows about its maker. If you like, it dozes off, it sleeps, it stops listening. Until the thunder roars, the trees fall, the lightning strikes, and the earth shakes. And each time those things happen, what is really taking place? Well, God is speaking. Look at verse 5. It's the voice of the Lord that breaks the cedars. Verse 7. It's the voice of the Lord that flashes forth flames of fire. Verse 8. The voice of the Lord that shakes the wilderness. In your mind, what do you associate with a spiritual experience? I think for many it would be sitting under that tree on the sunny day, or up that mountain with the serene view over the calm sea. But both of those are quite sleepy places, aren't they? You could just nod off, not really realise. Or someone could turn up and make a noise, put on a stereo, ride a motorbike, and that drowns out your special moment in an instant. What's it really like when God speaks? Well, imagine that tree you're sitting under coming crashing around all around you. Or that hurricane coming off the sea, shaking the earth. People think they could just stick their fingers in their ears and that's it. They can ignore what God has to say. Well, what good is that in the middle of ear-splitting thunder? If only God would be at work in power in 2017, we hear and maybe think. But what would it look like? Well, this psalm is telling us. The Lord created by speaking. And now, notice how the psalm really teaches us this. Did you notice the pattern? Look again, verse 3. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. Then, the Lord over the waters. Verse 5. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Then, the Lord breaks the cedars. Verse 8. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness. Do you see what's going on? How is it that our all-powerful God is at work in the world doing these clearly very powerful things? By his voice. His word will do it. So do you want to see a spectacular demonstration of the power of God in your life this year? Well, think of that friend or colleague who you think will never turn to God. You think, why bother suggesting a coffee, opening a gospel together? Well, let me warn you that if you do that, you better then get out of the way. Because a whirlwind from God will be unleashed. And this whirlwind, this God speaking through his voice in his word, even raises the dead. We've seen, haven't we, these reviews of 2016, the significant events of the past 12 months. And there's been a focus on the deaths, particularly of celebrities. But none of the TV shows or the newspaper supplements have talked about all the resurrections that took place last year. Because last year, lots of people crossed from death to life. Maybe that's some of you here came to trust in Christ for the very first time. Now, those are significant, life-transforming, eternity-changing events. And they take place when the voice of God is heard. So the God of glory thunders. He's at work powerfully through his voice. And so what? Well, as we now continue through the psalm, we see glory given to God. Glory given to God. So the call went out at the beginning, give glory to the Lord God. And then there's the response. First of all, we're taken to the temple. So the response to all these earth-shattering effects of the voice of God comes at the end of verse 9. And all in his temple cry glory. Now, the temple is a description of where the Lord God is, seated on his throne, where he's surrounded by those heavenly beings. And do you remember verses 1 and 2? That court was called on to give God the glory he was due. And after what's come in between, what they've seen take place on earth, sure enough, they do. The heavenly assembly cries out in mingled awe and humility, glory. What does it mean to do this, to give glory to God? Well, again, look on in verse 10. It's to recognize what we see here. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forever. Notice the repetition there in both lines. The Lord, he's enthroned. His power is demonstrated. Nothing can rival it. His position is secure. Whatever the world might say today, the reality is, the way that it is that God is king. Which again is an encouragement for us, isn't it? The start of 2017. As the year gets underway, on our minds maybe, our personal situation, our finances, our career, the relationships, our families. More widely, we look at the political scene, the security concerns, much on our minds, and we are not sure what's in store, whether we will get through this year at all. It all seems so out of control. And it's true there's much we don't know, isn't there, about this coming year, but what we do know is this, that God is king. He is in control. The Lord Jesus is alive. He reigns enthroned. And nothing will ever change that. Come what may, he is king forever. But notice how the start of verse 10 tells us, in particular, the Lord God sits enthroned over the flood. Now this fits with the psalm, doesn't it? The flood brings to mind Noah's day. And it reminds us that as we think of storm and God at work in power through it, it's got an overtone of judgment, to say the least. And then we remember the flood. And that is a warning to 2017, to our world today, as much as ever. It really matters whether you obey this call to give glory to God as he is due. That call in verses 1 and 2 is not an optional extra, a nice thing to do if you feel like it. If you feel so inclined, if we refuse to give glory to God and say no and choose other gods instead, well, this psalm shows us where that will lead. The judgment from the God who rules over all. But the psalm doesn't end with verse 10, because we also find that glory is given to God by his people. Now that description, temple, as you no doubt know, doesn't only speak of the heavenly temple. It also speaks of the meeting place on earth between God and his people. Now, if you're concentrating, you'll know the permanent temple has yet to be built, because this is David writing the psalm. The promise from God was that would be a task for David's son, Solomon. But still in David's day, there was a temporary structure in Jerusalem which was called the temple. And now with that in mind, consider again this thunderstorm in this psalm. Starts over the sea, makes landfall in the north towards Lebanon, circles round, and then shakes the ground in the south at Kadesh. The obvious question, it's like when you see the weather forecast, and you know, those pressure systems circling around and coming towards you. What's going to happen when the storm hits the centre and comes to Jerusalem. Well, wonderfully, rather than hear of any more destruction, we are taken to the temple. And there is safety. Because not all the earth have turned to God, far from it, but here are those who have. There in the temple, they cry out, glory. Here are God's people on earth, ascribing to God the glory due to his name. And so, if you like, what is happening in the temple with God's people is that heaven and earth are united as they should be. The Lord's Prayer, we prayed it earlier. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so we find here the heavenly temple and the earthly manifestation joined together in declaring glory. And they worship the Lord God. We discover more about God's people in this verse 11. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. It's a wonderful verse after a psalm full of overtones of storm and judgment. Here is security, peace with God. But how can this be with the God of glory who thunders? Which, of course, is only fully answered many years after this psalm was written. And we're taken to that hillside just outside Bethlehem. As we heard in that second reading, which we heard plenty of times in the run-up to Christmas. Do you remember in Luke 2 what the heavenly host cried out? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Maybe the heavenly host had been reflecting on Psalm 29. Glory to God in the highest. And then as we've seen, peace on earth for God's people because of the coming of Christ. Well, that's us, wonderfully. Whatever concerns may be on our minds at the beginning of this year, we are at peace with God because of Jesus. We are safe in the storm of his judgment. But what then do we need for 2017? Well, beginning of verse 11. May the Lord give strength to his people. We need God's power, don't we, to live for him, to live his way, to give glory to him in the midst of this hostile world that refuses to do that. And God, we've seen, is powerful. How will he give us then that strength that we need? Well, look how verse 11 again points us to the whole psalm. It's the Lord's work. He does it. And by this point in the psalm, we now know how he will do that. We know how God acts through his voice. The voice of the Lord is powerful and strong. So as you hear that voice, you will be strengthened to live as God's people. So if you want to be strengthened by the Lord, let's consider carefully again at the start of this year, how will we listen attentively to his voice in the coming months? That would be a great one for us to discuss together afterwards. And then if we are strengthened, what are we strengthened for? Well, in particular, we'll want to be like David, the psalmist here. Those who know the Lord then call on others to ascribe glory to his name. To say, treat the Creator, the Redeemer, the Lord God, as you should. And in this psalm, David points to the glory of God in the natural world, although he does it to point to the voice of God. And today, if we wanted to say to others, look at how glorious God is, where would we point them? We could point to creation, but then Christmas and that introduction to John's Gospel, which we've heard so many times, has told us the Word became flesh. Why? Well, to dwell among us that we might see his glory. That's where we see God's glory. That's where we can point others. And of course, that glory now is seen in its most dazzling splendor as we point people again to Jerusalem, but to the cross just outside it. Look to Jesus and you see the majesty of God's glory revealed to the world. So that's why we need to be strengthened for this year. to share the words of Jesus. And this psalm is designed to give us great confidence as we do that. As a church, that we'd keep doing that, but also individually. Yes, we feel so weak. We feel sometimes that speaking God's words will have no effect. But we've seen the power and majesty of God's voice, that it brings people to see his glory. Then they will ascribe to him the glory that's due his name. Well, let's pray as we close. So, our Father, we gladly and willingly praise you for your glory and majesty. And thank you that you continue to be at work powerfully in our world today through your voice. And so this coming year, would you keep us listening that we might be strengthened? Keep us trusting that in the face of an unbelieving world set on ignoring you, your word is powerful to bring people to bow the knee to King Jesus. And so this year, would we continue to ascribe to you glory and strength, and would others join us in doing that, even for the very first time? Amen.